Good morning. When Luke wrote to the early church, he recorded for us in chapter 9 and verse 31 of the book of Acts, "Then had all the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord, and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, were multiplied." Notice here that he points out the fact that they were walking in the fear of the Lord. In writing to the church at Philippi, Paul tells them, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Philippians 2 and verse 12. The concept of fear and trembling in connection with God is not a popular concept today. There is so much sin in the world, and in this country in particular, and people would rather have a God of love that's full of long-suffering and mercy than they would a vengeful God, a God who wants us to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. They would rather have a loving God than to know that we needed to walk in the fear of the Lord. And sometimes when we point out God's righteous indignation, His holiness, and justice, people reply, "Well, my God's not like that." The emphasis on God's love and mercy today is probably a reaction to the old hellfire and brimstone preaching from a generation that's gone by. But it could be that we've gone to the other extreme, where there is no concept of fear and trembling as it relates to the Christian today. And in this could be why a lot of Christians are apathetic in their service. They don't care. And it could be that we have forgotten who we should fear if we neglect Him in our service. Matthew 10 and verse 28. So in this lesson this morning, I hope to accomplish three things. Defining the fear of the Lord. And first of all, we're going to do that. The word fear in Hebrew is yirah, and it is used in the Old Testament to describe fear, terror, awesome or terrifying thing, an object causing fear, such as fear of God, which also is a respect, reverence, and piety. The Greek word is phobos, and it is used to describe fear, dread, terror, that which strikes terror. And in connection with the fear of the Lord, it is often defined as a reverence or awe. For though the terms reverence and awe imply a place of trembling, yet most people don't make the connection. The fear of the Lord should include a place for trembling. Paul indicated that in Philippians 2 and verse 12. By combining fear and trembling when we're told to work out our own salvation. The Greek word for trembling is tromos, and it means a trembling or quaking with fear. Just as one would likely tremble, in the presence of one who could take our life, so Jesus taught us to fear the Lord, Matthew 10 and verse 28. And a proper fear of the Lord then would include reverence and awe. Being afraid to offend God in any way, one commentary would say. A trembling and quaking if one knows that we have offended God or have not obtained forgiveness. Hebrews 10, verses 26 through 31, and Hebrews 12, verses 28 and 29. So the value of such an attitude is seen as we continue on now and notice not only the definition of fear, but the importance of this fear of the Lord in our lives. From the book of Proverbs, we learn several things. It is in the section of wisdom in the Old Testament. In chapter 1 and verse 7, he says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." In Proverbs 8 and verse 13, he says, "The fear of the Lord will cause one to hate evil." In Proverbs 10 and verse 27, it says, "The fear of the Lord will prolong life." And the proverb writer records for us in Proverbs 14, verses 26 and 27, "The fear of the Lord provides strong confidence and is a fountain of life." And then in Proverbs 16 and verse 6, he says, the fear of the Lord prompts one to depart from evil. And we read that the fear of the Lord leads to a satisfying life and spares one from much evil. Proverbs 19 and verse 23. And then finally in Proverbs 22 and verse 4, he says, the fear of the Lord is the way to riches, honor, and life. So without the fear of the Lord in our lives, we close ourselves to the treasures of God's wisdom and knowledge. And we will only flirt with the good things, and more definitely will flirt with evil and be corrupted by it. Our lives are likely to be shortened because of our refusal to heed the Word of God. For example, you may be given over to sexual promiscuity, and because of this you might suffer from some sexually transmitted disease because you didn't listen to the Word of God. You may be given to alcoholism and destroy your liver. You know, we'll not come to know the love of God that gives us assurance and confidence of our salvation without a fear of the Lord. And when we are fallen into sin, we will not be motivated to repent and turn to God. We will not be motivated to truly work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. You know, without the fear of the Lord, we cannot please God. Isaiah 62, verses 1 and 2. And only the person who trembles at His word has God's promise to receive His tender mercy. That's what the psalmist tells us in Psalm 103, verses 17 and 18. So how do we develop the proper fear of the Lord without going to the extreme that the past generations have gone to? So let's talk in the time that we have remaining about developing the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord comes from the Word of God. It comes through the Word of God. Just as Paul would record in Romans 10 and verse 17, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The same can be said about the fear of the Lord. When we notice passages like Deuteronomy 31, beginning in verse 10, where the children of Israel were told to gather every 7 years to read and hear the Word. Moses commanded them, saying in verse 10, at the end of 7 years, at the appointed time in the year of release, at the Feast of Tabernacles, when all Israel comes to appear before the Lord, your God, in the place which He chooses, you shall read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men and women and little ones, and the stranger who is within your gates, that they may hear and that they may learn to fear the Lord your God and carefully observe all the words of this law, and that your children who have not known it may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land which you cross the Jordan to possess. So what's the purpose of this gathering? Well, Moses recorded that they may learn to fear the Lord. That's what God told him to say. So as one reads the Word of God, they should gain a healthy degree of the fear of the Lord. Paul recorded that for us in Romans 2, verses 4 through 11. And even Peter mentioned this in 2 Peter 3, verses 7 through 14. So the Word of God, when properly used, will help us to maintain a proper balance. And it is important to emphasize that to avoid extremes, we must read all of God's Word. Some read only those portions that reveal God's love and mercy, and they have no fear of the Lord. Others emphasize the fire, hail, and brimstone passages and know nothing about God's everlasting loving kindness. The one who develops an attitude of permissiveness belittles God's holiness and judgment. The other develops a psychosis of terror that forgets God's grace and compassion. Even in the passages that we've noticed this morning, the context of each speaks much about God's grace and forgiveness for those who will repent. So we must be careful. Be careful how we use the Word of God. But we have to use the Word of God. The psalmist said, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. Psalm 89 and verse 7. God is to be greatly feared in everyone's lives, in the assembly of the saints, but this fear is a reverent fear of what he can do to us if we disobey him. So why do we need the fear of the Lord? Well, it's so that we will be sure to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. And it's strange that God's word needs to warn us of this. And the warning is necessary because it was written in the Hebrew letter, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." Hebrews 4 verses 1 through 2. We have to have a reverent fear of God. You know, it's strange that when you look on Facebook, you see these people that talk about the scriptures. They post scriptures. And in the very next post, they will put a curse word or something that is morally wrong. Or they'll use a euphemism like OMG, which basically means, oh my God. And if you're going to use a watered-down curse word, why not just use the real thing? But I think a lot of times we don't think about what we're doing. So we need to be reminded. We need to be reminded of the warning that we need to fear God. If we had more reverent fear of God, then our society would probably be better off. The Hebrew writer says again, "Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief." Hebrews 4 and verse 11. And with the proper fear of the Lord, we will work out our salvation. We will labor to enter into that heavenly rest. We're going to work to try to go to heaven. And having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Paul wrote that in 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 1. So now let's ask this question. Look at your life and ask yourself if you are perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. Do you have? And before you ever answer, think about it. Don't just rush in and say, "Oh yes, I have the fear of the Lord in my life." Seriously think about it and ask yourself if you have that reverent fear of God. He is the one who can determine where you spend eternity. And if you're living your life to where you're straddling the fence, to where you want to serve the world and God, then you do not fear the Lord. If you truly fear the Lord, then you would do everything that he said, and you would not be straddling the fence. Thank you for being with me today. If you don't like this lesson, you can look me up on Facebook and complain about it. Ask me questions. You can go to the church website, church@eastside.com, and re-listen to this or any other lessons that we've had in the past. I look forward to being with you again next Lord's Day morning at 7:45 with a replay at 11:45. Thank you very much.